Right. As everybody knows, the Northern Rail system has going to, or is going to be, put back into public ownership. Chris Page, chairman of Rail Futures. I suppose the word is, or the question is, Chris, really, is there a future for railways?
Well, I hope so, because it's the only way that we're going to overcome the climate change crisis with sustainable transport. It's the most sustainable form of transport. We need more people to use the railways.
Well, yeah, but it's all sort of messy, isn't it? I use Southern Rail from time to time, and they're quite often late. They're quite often full of disgusting people eating crisps.
Well, they're full. They're too full for a start. That's every day. Every day they're too full.
Well, we shouldn't blame the passengers for everything.
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah, why not? I mean, I have a shower every day. I don't take smelly food on the train. Why should they?
You shouldn't do any of that, yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see banning eating on the trains unless
take your rucksacks off as well.
Oh, that's another thing, yeah.
I hate that.
Rucksacks, and somebody turns around and smacks you in the head.
Well, so tightly packed.
Yeah. Yes.
So well, I've got that out of my system, Chris, thank you.
What about the people who want to take their suitcase? Is that allowed?
Well, if they put them in the racks ones dragging them through when there's no room or annoyance.
Well, that's fair enough.
And I tell you the other one, the people with those fold-up bikes who seem to inhabit the city of London.
Yeah.
Do they inhabit any other cities?
The hipsters with those bikes.
Yeah.
The hipsters.
I'm amazed they don't get their beards caught in the chain.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, listen, seriously for a moment, do you think this is good, taking it back into public ownership? Will it make any difference?
Nothing is going to change for passengers directly as a result of this decision. The things that the DfT have said will happen would have happened anyway, the new trains, the longer platforms. Basically what's happened is that Northern has taken the rap for decisions made by the DfT over the last few years. Things like going back to the franchise before, the low growth assumption, cutting back electrification in the northwest, the project to build the Aldsore Cord. They took out the proposals for increasing the capacity of the Castlefield corridor, which is the direct reason why the trains are so crowded through Manchester. The franchise competition for Northern was delayed and the specification was changed during the competition. The DfT always take the lowest quote, and so the assumption they're making basically is everything is going to go right, and of course it didn't.
No, and I think, you know, I have not... No, some people who work on the railways are delightful. There was a... When I took the train every day regularly, I often saw the same guard who had a Mohican hairstyle and tattoos all over the place.
You don't want that, do you?
No, I
do.
He was the nicest one I ever met. But so many people work on the radio, so just on the... same thing. On the trains are quite sullen. And they used to be that way before they were taken into private ownership.
I think one of the things the railways do have to do is make sure that all of their staff make decisions on the basis of what's right for the customer, for the passenger.
I don't think they realise they're in the service industry.
Exactly. And that's a sort of a motivational thing that all the rail companies have to work through. There are a lot of good staff on the railway, so I don't want to denigrate any of them.
No, but there are things that could improve. Quite often, when they're giving out messages over the intercom, sometimes quite important messages, you can't understand a word they're saying.
The diction, you want them to improve.
Well, maybe that's the system they're using rather than the way they're speaking. And, of course, remember, they have to put up with a lot of abuse from passengers as well. So it's difficult for staff in some...
But then they go too far the other way. And there's some in the London Underground that will do shows, like almost like they're doing shows on performing.
Yeah, there was one on the train
the other day. There are some entertainers on the
road. Yeah. There should be more. They should be encouraged. But, you know, shoving people on, as they do on some of the trains at...
We need that, actually. In Japan, they have people employed to push people on. We need that here now.
That's an assault.
I don't think we actually do that it happens in Japan. But it is important for platform staff to encourage passengers to get on as quickly as possible so trains don't get delayed. Yeah. That's sort of an important role for them.
I mean, we've been arguing about this for years, haven't we, how badly the trains run and all the problems on them. They're dirty and people don't seem very helpful.
And it's worse up north as well. It's much worse.
People are very happy to moan about the railways, but actually they depend on them.
Absolutely.
They use railways to get...
But that's why they can make them not very good, because people will get them anyway, and they know that. They've got you over a barrel.
The key thing about Northern, though, is that the franchise had to end anyway, because the Northern Rail were losing money as a result of the problems that they've had, which, as I said, can you contract back to the DfT. And so, basically, the government has taken the initiative and got in first and ended the franchise before Northern could hand back the keys, because obviously that looks better for the government. But key thing is, what's needed now? There's three things that are important. One is that the new operator, because basically the operator won't be the government itself, it will be another group of companies that are in the position of operator of last resort. They and Network Rail have to set up a separate team, separate from the people doing the day job of managing the operation of the railway as a service, to actually work out what service they can run reliably. And that's likely to mean, in the short term, cutting some train services. Bad news for passengers, but actually it's more important that the trains arrive on time than to try and squeeze in the last possible train and have them all run late. Next thing that's got to happen is, and this was sort of touched on in the government release, there needs to be an agreement with the RMT on rostering and operations. Now, that is going to be a lot harder than the government press release suggests, because the RMT are not basically negotiating with a number of rail companies at the moment. There are disputes across the country in various places, and it needs that agreement on rostering to get Sunday services to work, because at the moment there are not common terms and conditions across all of Northern Rail, because it came from different franchises. And so in the Northwest, basically they are reliant on overtime for Sunday services, and of course if the staff are in dispute, or they basically are not working Sundays when they could. The third thing is there needs quickly to be a project to increase the capacity through the Castlefield corridor and goes through through lines through Manchester Piccadilly.
You see, I don't think people who work in industries which are absolutely necessary, like our trains, should be allowed to go on strike.
That is something that the government has suggested, that they are going to legislate so that if there's a strike, there has to be a minimum service. That legislation could be a double-edged sword, because if you take Southwestern at the moment, where the guards have been on strike recently, Southwestern still managed to run 50% of the train, basically using managers and the staff who were prepared to work. If you legislate and say, okay, the minimum service level has got to be something like 20-25%, then that's all you'll get. So it may be worse than the current position. We don't know. Now, I can understand the calls for legislation, but we have to be careful about what the minimum service level is required to be.
I mean, they, in the Northern franchises, have really to spend more money. I mean, we were talking about the opening up of some of the old rail lines, whether that ever happens or not. I've no
idea.
The
old H-ing lines. Yeah.
But, you know, there are converted buses running on the rails and various other ridiculous things.
Not actually converted, but I know what you mean.
It's the bus shell that they've made into railways.
Yeah. Using parts which were originally designed for buses. There's a problem with the cost of running railways in the north, which is why the Northern franchise has ended, basically because Northern was losing money. The government is going to have to spend more to run the service going forward with its operator of last resort.
So the North isn't viable anymore?
You can't close down the whole of the North.
You can't close down the whole of the North. No. Government currently subsidises.
They tried that. Thatcher tried that.
No, she didn't.
It, government subsidises rail services for it because there's a social need. That's fine. But it may need to spend a little bit more going forward to keep Northern running at the level that it needs and to resolve the problems that here at
And are you pro HS2? That's going to help, isn't it?
HS2 won't help this particular problem directly. But yes, we are pro HS2 because it will deliver the extra capacity that we need to get people to change from travelling by car or travelling by train to reduce carbon emissions.
Because I saw a woman interviewed from the Northern Rail when she said, I've got to go back to my car because it was happening, it was unreliable, and like a lot of her staff were late by half an hour or an hour, and so she just had to go back to her car because she couldn't rely on it.
That's a problem. Yeah, that's why it's important that the service is reliable, because people do rely on it to get to work.
I mean, I started this program once because the train I was on was delayed.
So well, you drive in now, don't you, because the trains are no good.
Did you call in from the train?
Yeah.
Well, they are, you see, so you can work from home or work from the
They need to improve their Wi-Fi on board as well.
It's a bit more difficult by car, but anyway.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is. As long as you've got a car with a proper hands-free system, which you can talk to rather than fiddle about with, yeah.
You can use the phone. You can't actually use a computer or...
And you can't go to the toilet. I go sometimes to the toilet on the train home.
Why? You only go half an hour.
I know, but sometimes you don't realise, do you?
Oh, don't be disgusting.
Well, this one comes with age.
Yeah, he is, because he's so old.
You wanted to go, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should put a lot more money into our railways, even if only because we invented them. Well, some people say we didn't.
That's probably not a very good reason. We need to put more money in. Invest, not put. So people say spend more money. Actually, we need to invest more money because of the benefits we can get.
Open more lines, basically. A lot of these shut down lines.
The government has put up a fund of $500 million to start that process.
Seems an awful lot of money just to put up an inquiry. I mean, surely that could be better spent.
Well, I think that money is going to get spent on kickstarting a number of reopenings rather than, because if you just spent that money on reopening railways, you wouldn't get very many or very much.
It's feasibility studies, isn't it?
It's the proving the business case and doing the initial design so that you've got a proposal which will work and then draw in funding to support it and buy the benefits that you'll get.
And maybe
the one at the top of the list, for example, is Ashington Blythe and Tyne in the northeast.
I know it well. The metro in Newcastle, their new carriages are being built in Switzerland. Why can't we build them here?
The Germans would never have that, would they? They're all at the Siemens.
Well, the French would never.
And we have the Siemens as well. I don't get that, you know.
Yeah, it's we're a free trading nation at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, Germany, they make sure they get their own, even though they have the same rules
as
we do.
Well, let's put some tariffs on some of these other countries and build stuff here.
Bombardier.
What?
Bombardier.
I don't think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah. In Derby.
Yes, I mean, they build trains in Derby. They're fairly busy at the moment. Hitachi in the northeast are not quite as busy, but they may or may not have a suitable design for the Newcastle Metro.
Hitachi?
Yeah, they build trains in the north.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, there is call for a few more trains going east to west as well in different parts of the country.
But you need a spine, don't you? The HS2, and you need a spine, then you go off there, like branches.
You need Northern Powerhouse Rail to link Liverpool across to Manchester to Leeds. That depends to some extent on having HS2. There are some elements of HS2 that are needed to make Northern Powerhouse Rail work. We actually need something which is not currently in the proposals for Northern Powerhouse Rail, which is a fast new route from Manchester to Sheffield, so that we get a journey time down to about 30 minutes.
And what we also need to do is stop all this messing around and people having an investigation after investigation, review after review.
So it takes 100 years.
So nothing gets built. Look what they're doing in China now. Yeah. Everybody's talking about the coronavirus. Let's talk about the fact they're building hospitals in a week.
1,000-bed hospitals. Yeah.
You know, if we were to sort of get say, yeah, right, we passed the, this is going ahead, and that's it, and we get about 50 building companies on it, and you know, diggers in there, and everything else.
Yeah, it's the amount of men.
We do need a more streamlined process that creates a pipeline of projects, because getting a consistent level of investment means that. The costs go down because the contractors who are doing the building don't have to sort of keep stopping and starting and moving between jobs with gaps in between. If we can get a consistent program running, then it becomes about a third cheaper.
And why has Crossrail suddenly said it's not going to open now for another year or so?
Terrible.
They're being extra careful, having been late once. They don't want to do it again.
Are we paying more for this?
It's all about software. That's the weird thing. All the holes and everything's dug, and the station and the train's ready. It's all like software problems or something.
Yeah.
That's the last thing that you have to do to prove that the systems on the trains and the signalling all works. And that, because it's got signalling and... the computers on trains have got more complex. Practically everything on a train is controlled by computer now. It takes more testing, and that just needs to be built into the program.
Well, I think it's about time we got our fingers out and started, whether it's building more houses, building infrastructure or whatever else. We take so long and we prevaricate so much.
Look at Heathrow Airport.
Well, yes.
How long has that been going on? Decades.
Yeah, build another runway. It's needed. It should have been built years ago. Yeah. The land has all been bought up. People's homes were bought up years ago. And let's get on and build it.
Certainly the delay does blight people's lives as well.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you get a few people who start complaining and going to their local papers or doing whatever they do, or lobbying Parliament.
Because for the Olympics, they brought in laws so they could specifically overrule things very quickly, because obviously you have to get it done in time for the Olympics. And they should bring in these sort of laws for the railways. Yeah.
Otherwise, you and I are not going to be here when it opens up.
I mean, it's going to be 4 years, won't it?
Yeah, no, we're right.
Yeah, well, there we are. I'll leave it in
your... So it doesn't really matter then, does it? We're all not going to be here.
I'll leave it in your hands, Chris, to get it sorted out.
Yeah, I'll tell them.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, sir. Chris Page, Chairman of Rail Future.